that it almost seems like a memory of someone else's life. You know, a memory that is so easily forgotten and that is so past that I can barely remember what was it like to be like that. What was I used to be like? I can hardly recall it because it is so far behind me. I don't want to be coming down to the wire, neck and neck with sin, having sin breathing down my neck, having sin right in my back, and then I come to the wire, oh, nose over the wire. Not that that will be unacceptable, but you know what? If sin is that close, if sin is at the door, there is no guarantee. I give you no guarantee that you're going to beat it out. What if it noses over ahead of you? You ever consider that? If it's so close. I tell you, a close race like that, there's going to be a lot of losers. There's going to be a lot of losers in that. Scripture flashed through my mind. Cain, sin lies at the door. Sin is breathing at your neck. If it's that close to you, I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people. They thought, oh, I'll just run neck and neck with sin to the end, and then at the last second, I'll give a burst of speed. The last second, sin's going to put its burst of speed on, and it's going to be strong. And I tell you, you want to have a lot of distance in front of you and sin way behind, forgetting those things that are behind. I want it to be so far behind, it's like, where? Where was it? I tell you, when the race is that close, you do not want to risk a photo finish. Is it possible to be saved that way? Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you what. The Apostle Peter, in that same chapter we were looking at in 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, do you want to feel like you're in a race your whole life where you're neck and neck with something and it's breathing down your neck, always being pursued, always being hounded down, always being on the run from it, and, you know, feeling that it's so close and so at hand and so powerful and so strong? Do you want to go through life feeling that way? Or would you rather go through life, you know, and what is the repercussion of that? Is that you feel unsure of yourself. Am I going to win? Am I going to be saved? I don't want to feel like, am I going to be saved? I don't want to have these questions in my mind. You know, I'm saying all these things and gosh, I'm sure it could scare you, right? I want to be sure. I want to know I'm saved. That's how they always say, you want to be sure you're saved? Well, let's just say a prayer together and we'll be sure. That's not what the scripture says. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says a specific way that you can make your calling and election sure. Do you know that there's a way detailed in the Bible that you can make your calling and election sure? So that you can know I am called of God. Not only am I called of God, because many are called but few are chosen, but I am also chosen of God. Because there are few chosen, but I know I'm chosen. You know why? Because I've made my calling and election sure. And I'll tell you what, it's not saying, if you will repeat after me and believe in Jesus, you can be sure you're going to go to heaven. They're lying to you. They're a bunch of liars. They have no part in the kingdom of heaven because they have perverted the gospel of Christ. They have no part in the gospel of Christ because they are not the speakers of it. Look at, this is what the Apostle Peter said about making your calling and election sure. You want to be sure of your fate? You want to be sure that the race is won? He says, add to your faith, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, charity. For these things, if they be in you and abound, they make you neither to be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, because his old sins are breathing down his neck. I wasn't cleansed from my sins. They're right there. I lack virtue. I lack knowledge. I lack temperance. I lack faith. I lack godliness. I lack love. I lack. I know I'm going to fail. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, here's the verse, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. If you do these things, you're never going to fall. You want to be sure of your eternal life? You want to be proof positive that you will enter into eternal life with Jesus Christ as a ruler and reigner in his kingdom, a co-heir of Christ, joint heir. You want to be sure? Well, add to your faith, virtue. If virtue's in you, you can be sure. If knowledge is in you, you will be sure. If temperance, patience and godliness are at work in you, you will feel more and more sure. When the works of God, the works of righteousness, the godliness, the holiness, when all those things are at work in you and built up in you and behind you, miles behind you, in a race that is very long, that takes years to complete, way back there, somewhere there, you can't even see it, but somewhere back there, there's a hint of something. Oh, yeah, that's right, it was sin. There's sin way the heck back there. Where is he? I can't even see him. I've forgotten him. I was cleansed from my old sins. I was purged from the former lusts. And now I walk in the things that God has ordained that they which are heirs of salvation shall walk in. That is how you make your calling election sure. That's how you walk into the wedding confident in a wedding garment. I'm ready for the party. I'm ready for the party. Another guy walks in sweatpants, in a dirty t-shirt, like I'm currently wearing. And then he sits down at the wedding feast. And the Lord of the feast, this is in the modern day. I'll tell you, even in a modern day, you show up at a wedding with sweatpants and a dirty t-shirt. I don't know if they're going to throw you out, but they might ask you to leave, right? But in this time, kings, hey, he's insulted. How dare you show up here like that? How dare you show up in my house like that? I'm putting on a wedding here. How dare you show up without a wedding garment? And they think, well, are you saying I have to work to earn it? No, that he has already completed the works. He has already earned it. It is yours for the taking, but it requires something. Faith. And even that, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is not the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. You know why grace isn't the gift of God? Because it's redundant to say it's the gift is the gift of God. This gift is the gift of God. Because graciousness is already obviously entailed in the idea of graciousness. It's gift and grace in Greek, charis and charisma. They're the same words. The grace of God is what saves us. It's Him being gracious to us. It's Him choosing us. Those who are chosen appear in wedding garments. It's not that they do the... And now, in the parable, they had to come dressed. But it's a parable. So you can't draw every line. I mean, because in the real life application of this, we must appear. And in fact, that is what shows that we are the servants of God. Just like the parable of the tares. In the end, the tares brought forth the tare fruit. They had not on a wedding garment. Their fruit was unsuitable, unacceptable. But those who are of the good wheat, they brought forth good fruit. Their garments were white and clean. And why? Why?